actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
And the stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
Try that.
Who's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Like, seriously, what the fuck? Hiya, besties. It's me, Jennifer Wan, and this is What the Actual Fuck Is Going On With This Whole Politics Business. Normally, I do my preamble and I do my little, oh my God, there has definitely been a lot going on with this whole politics business at the opening of the episode. But there's been a lot more than, you know, just politics going on in this whole politics business. There's been a pretty significant and serious event. So, I will be talking about that, as well as all of the other, you know, stuff that's been going on in this whole politics business. So we're covering it all. Everything. And also, I dug up a new conspiracy theory for you. If you need a bit of cheering up, you can come down a rabbit hole with me and we'll have a lot of fun. Can someone explain Liz Truss to me like I'm 5? I don't know a thing and I'm looking to learn. Thank you. That comes from Chrissy Teigen, who is a model and a Twitter shit poster, I believe. No, Chrissy, I don't know that I can explain Liz Truss to you like you're 5, because she is a complex web of idiocy and incompetence, and so it would just take too long, and I'm afraid that a 5-year-old's mind may explode. So I don't think that there is a way to do that, I'm afraid. But it was Liz Truss's first week as Prime Minister. And what a week it's been. So I know that I have to talk about the situation. And I will. But I want to go through her first week and talk about some of the other things that are trusty Miss Truss has been up to. So she's the new Prime Minister. She met with the Queen earlier in the week at Balmoral Castle, and all the official business has been taken care of. We are locked in with Liz Truss now. There's no turning back. Good Christ. So there are a number of people rushing to congratulate Liz Truss on Twitter. And unfortunately, a number of people were tweeting the wrong account. And so a woman named Liz Trussell was receiving a hell of a lot of well wishes that were not meant for her. Because, as it all turns out, Liz Truss, the Prime Minister, does not have access to the Liz Truss Twitter handle. That belongs to Liz Trussell. If you do want to tweet Liz Truss, as in the PM, you've got to go to @TrussLiz. I guess she was not an early adopter of Twitter. So many people have tried to get in touch with Liz Truss and ended up in touch with Liz Trussell, who's taken the whole thing really well, and she's been really good about it, considering she's probably had to deal with a ton of engagement that she didn't ask for. She's received tweets from the Prime Minister of Sweden. Oh, God. Caroline Lucas, the Green Party MP for Brighton Pavilion as well, made the same mistake. As well as a number of angry members of the public, I suppose. But she's taken it very well. She's been very nice, very, very nice about explaining it to everybody. oh, dear. But Liz Truss has had an interesting first week. Nadine Dorris has quit the cabinet as well. As you may know from the last episode I did, the little bonus episode, Priti Patel, gone. She's she bounced from the cabinet. And actually, interestingly enough, Zara Sultana, who is a Labour Party MP, tweeted about that, and she said, "Good riddance, Priti Patel. You were an unspeakably cruel Home Secretary and won't be missed by anyone with a shred of decency," with a waving emoji. And that tweet was briefly liked by the foreign Commonwealth Twitter account. So somebody in the Foreign Office liked that tweet, and then I guess unliked it when they realized that they were going to get into some fucking trouble. So somebody in the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office does not like Priti Patel. I'd imagine it's probably more than one person, but I don't know. I guess we'll never know. It's a mystery. So Nadine Dorris, also out of the cabinet. Culture Secretary gone, and not before time. Goodbye, Mad Nads, and thanks for all the memes, I guess. She has told friends apparently that she's not going to stay, and again, there is those persistent rumours about Nadine Dorris hoping for a place in the Lords. Through Boris Johnson's resignation honours, which will then lead to a by-election in her seat. I want to just say again, this idea that when a Prime Minister is booted out, they can just take a bunch of friends and stick them in the House of Lords is fucking insane. This is ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. But unfortunately, it is happening. It is a thing. So Johnny Mercer, Conservative MP and former Minister for Veteran Affairs, left the cabinet, but not of his own accord. So he was fired from his cabinet position, and his wife had something to say about this. Felicity Cornelius Mercer tweeted in regards to the issue. He asked her, "Why would you do this? Who is going to be better at this role than me? Which of your mates gets the job? You promised a meritocracy." And apparently Liz Truss said in response to that, "I can't answer that, Johnny. This system stinks and treats people appallingly. Best person I know, sacked by an imbecile." And then she tagged Liz Truss, and she actually tagged the right account, so shout out to her for that. She then followed up her tweet with with a graphic of Beaker from the Muppets, sort of dressed up to look like Liz Truss, with Liz for leader written on it, implying that Liz Truss is a Muppet. Thoughts and prayers to Beaker, who just did not deserve that comparison, frankly. So I would guess Johnny Mercer very much not happy with this, and neither is his wife. Fun fact, I actually briefly had a brief Twitter exchange with Felicity Cornelius Mercer once. I posted a complete like throwaway, didn't even tag him. I posted a thing about how I wanted to one day be a songwriter like Johnny Mercer, and I clarified I meant the songwriter in America, not the Tory MP. And she actually responded, and we had a little conversation about about whether he was a good songwriter or not. And that was a cute little moment. But I, you know what? I kind of respect this, you know, mad as hell. I'm going to call this woman a fucking Muppet for sacking my husband thing. I kind of respect her for committing to the drama. I kind of live for it. But it does kind of make you wonder, is Liz Truss making good choices? Probably not. So Liz Truss then had her first Prime Minister's questions. She floundered a bit. She had a similar strategy to Boris Johnson in that she made sure, in my opinion, that the Tory benches were packed. She had a lot of them kind of, it was like they were barking on command, you know. She was talking her shit, saying her thing, and they would just be yelling and screaming and cheering for her all the time. Very, very loud, very, very rambunctious. So I think that's probably going to be her strategy going forward. She did not look particularly strong when answering questions. Her speaking style is very bland, we know this, but it was very... very that, you know. And she didn't really seem to have too many solid answers to questions that she was being asked. Again, similar to Boris Johnson, but then again, similar to most prime ministers when they answer questions at Prime Minister's Questions. So, to be honest, Prime Minister's Questions as a format, as an institution, is not a particularly useful thing, in my opinion, but... I kind of still like it for the memes and drama, but it, you know, you're not going to get anything major done there, I would say. She looked a bit weak, but Liz Truss kind of always does, so who's surprised? And then we had a little bit of a reshuffle. So most of the reshuffle kind of went as was expected. And as was kind of theorized, I did talk about that a little bit last week. One of the things that did kind of make me laugh, and a lot of people have also been pointing this out, is that the new Minister for Women and Equalities is Nadeem Zahawi, who is a man. So that's interesting, you know. I'm just saying, like, really, girl, you couldn't find any woman to put in your government as the Minister for Women. Really, girl, you couldn't find any woman at all. And this is the same Liz Truss that is very much dining out on the fact that she's now the third woman to be Prime Minister. And she's trying to make that into a big feminist moment, but she can't find another woman in her party to be the Minister for Women. Really, girl. Really. And this is kind of made especially ridiculous when you look at other roles that Nadeem Zahawi currently holds. So he has been appointed to Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, Minister for Intergovernmental Relations, as well as the role in Minister for Women and Equalities. Interestingly, the graphic that the government used to announce this just listed that role as Minister for Equalities rather than Minister for Women and Equalities, which is the actual title. And the government have now confirmed that the role will still include women and equalities. But I guess they didn't want to draw attention to that at the time. But yeah, it's just interesting, like, you couldn't find one woman to take that role. Really, Elizabeth? Okay. So then we turn to Liz Truss's big plan for the cost of living crisis. So let's have a look, shall we? So Liz Truss has announced big plans, so she says. And the plan is this. Typical energy bills in England, Scotland and Wales will be capped at £2,500 on the 1st of October for 2 years. This is not like a cap on the bill itself, but it's a cap on unit price. So if you use more or less energy than the average household, you're going to pay more or you're going to pay less. It depends. Either way, it's still an increase, really. The £400 support scheme, is still in place, so that's still happening. And she has suspended green levies. So she did the thing she's been talking about for the whole leadership campaign that's supposed to save us. Let's see if it does, Elizabeth. She's also made an equivalent guarantee for business for 6 months. Because apparently, you know, the trouble's only going to last 6 months for businesses. I've seen a number of posts from business owners who are talking about how their energy bills are going up by, in some cases, tens of thousands. I don't think 6 months is going to cut it, sweetheart. I really don't. I really, really don't. She's lifted the ban on fracking. Okay. I don't think that that's going to help people in the immediate future. And I also think it could have some long-term negative effects. But you know what? Who needs to be sensible? We're living in Liz Truss's la-la land. So it doesn't matter, I guess. Okay. A number of people pointed out that the ban on fracking being lifted is concerning because the government's own British Geological Survey, which was released, found that we actually don't know how much impact fracking will have on seismic events in the UK. So, you know, let's just do something that could be potentially disastrous. Why not? Fuck it. Now, how is this whole price cap that's not really a price cap, like the freeze that's not really a freeze? How are we getting this? How are we having this? Well, good news. We are not taxing the companies that are making tons and tons of profit right now. Oh, no. We're paying for it. The taxpayer's paying for it. Fabulous news. Liz Truss actually said, we will not be giving in to the leader of the opposition who calls for this to be funded by a windfall tax. That would undermine the national interest by discouraging the very investment we need to secure homegrown energy supplies. We are taking an approach which is pro-growth, pro-business, and pro the investment we need. They are making billions of pounds in profits, Elizabeth. They can fucking afford a windfall tax. They can fucking afford it. Oh my God. And you know what? If places are investing in the UK because they know that they're not going to have to pay their fair share of tax, that's not a good thing. That's called being a doormat and being treated like a fucking mug. If that's what you want to do, just say that. Don't try and make it into some big, noble, awesome thing. Because it's not, gully. It's not. Basically, what we're doing, what we're actually doing, is handing a fuck ton of money to corporations that already have a fuck ton of money. We're not changing the underlying causes that are creating this crisis. And the public are paying for it. Love this for us. Thank you so much, Liz Truss. Thanks, Queen. Fuck's sake. Oh my God. But you know what? Not all is lost. Okay, because as it all turns out, there are some leaders that do actually know what to do. There are some people that are not being ridiculous. There are some people that are actually working in the interests of the public rather than the people that have all the money already. Let's have a look at what the Scottish government are doing, shall we? Okay, so this week Nicola Sturgeon announced her plan for helping people through the cost of living crisis. And what's interesting about this is that it is already so much, just so much better than what the UK government have to offer. And the Scottish government is doing this within the constraints of devolution. So they have limited powers, limited funds, limited abilities, but they're still managing to pull all this out and come through like this for the people. Meanwhile, the UK government don't have constraints like that. And they're still like, we're going to tell the energy companies not to charge you too much, but then we're going to give them a bunch of your money from taxes to make up for it. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Is that all right? Well, if it's not, we don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's such a stark difference. Anyway, let's look at how grown-ups do government. So it was announced this week, the Scottish government, these are their plans, a rent freeze until March 2023 for private and social tenants. Love that. A temporary ban on evictions. Love that. ScotRail fares to be frozen until March 2023. The Scottish child payment rising to £25. And an expansion of universal free school meals. Icon. Skinny. Legend. I mean, like I said, and this is stuff that they're able to do within the constraints of devolution. And then you look at what the UK government are offering us, and we're like, I'm Scottish now, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm just gonna turn up on the border and be like, hey girl, what's up? Hi. I want to live in a country where the government actually gives a shit about me. Is there room? Can I come in? Are you doing anything right now? Can I just come in for a little bit? I promise that I won't like steal away somewhere and hide so that you can't get rid of me. I'm kidding. That is literally my plan. That's what I'm gonna do. It's just the difference, you know? The difference of what you get from a government that actually cares. You know what I mean? Like, it's just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And you know what else? Let's look at Wales. Again, let's talk about a government that actually cares. Wales. Universal free school meals for kids in Wales. That is huge. And this is something, again, that the Welsh government is doing within the constraints of devolution. And then you look at what the UK government's doing. Are they doing enough? No. Are they doing even the bare minimum? No. There we are. There we fucking are. The Conservative government, they just... they're worthless. And like I said, I don't think that's going to change under Liz Truss. You know, there are some people and they're acting like she's going to be a breath of fresh air and it's all going to be great and it's all going to be fucking fabulous. No, it's not. You want to know something? Liz Truss, her leadership campaign, one of the biggest donations came from the wife of a former BP executive. And then suddenly, her answer to the cost of living crisis, her answer to the energy crisis is, we are going to hand a fuck ton of taxpayer money to these companies, to these corporations, and persuade them to cut your bills a little tiny bit, but they're still going to get their money, so it doesn't matter. That's a bit fucking suspect, isn't it? That's a bit fucking suspect. I just feel like there's just no way. There's just no way that you can trust Liz Truss. There we go. That's it. Like, that's the tweet, as they say. So, I'm sure that you know what I'm going to talk about now. I did kind of allude to it a little bit earlier in the show. I was actually going to start with talking about this, but my major concern was that some people may have like fatigue about hearing about this topic. So I'm not going to go super into detail about the event. I'm feeling my Mitchell and Webb moment there. God, I miss that show. Sorry, attention span of like a chocolate button. I'm not going to go super into details about the actual situation that I'm sure we're all aware of, but I am going to talk about obviously about it briefly to give some context, and then I'm going to just go through what that has done in terms of effects on UK politics this week. So the Queen has died. Yeah, that's a thing that has happened. You know what, full disclosure, I find talking about death really uncomfortable. I've had to talk about death on this podcast quite a few times, actually. And you'll probably notice I sound like audibly uncomfortable every time. And that's because I am. So so there we are. Confessions. So I kind of, you know, like everybody else, there is a number of ways you can find out. Social media, a news notification. That's how I found out. I got a notification on my phone from BBC News and then Sky News and all the news apps on my phone, really, that the Queen was, you know, being monitored by her doctors and that they were concerned for her health. And I was a bit like, oh, okay. And then obviously it just kind of all, you know, everything happened. You'll know, I'm sure. Suddenly there was news anchors and they were all wearing black, and there was lots of cancellations to TV schedules, and there were a lot of, you know, broadcasters essentially stalling for time before they could tell us what was kind of already becoming apparent to people across the UK. There was a moment in the House of Commons where I think they were being informed that something was definitely up. There was Liz Truss was passed a note, and she sort of dashed off, and then the opposition were passed a note. I have to say, and I don't like Liz Truss, we know this, but it's a really unfortunate situation for her, because she's literally just become Prime Minister and then this just sort of happens. I mean, it's not great for it to happen at any point, but bloody hell. So the day unfolds, and then in the evening it's announced that the Queen has died. It was reported that apparently members of Parliament were crying and hugging each other at the Strangers Bar on the Parliamentary Estate as they watched TV and watched the news about the Queen passing away. So a deeply emotional time for various people. So almost immediately, new plans are coming together. We've got so many changes, so many things happening. Of course, the immediate change, we now have a king. That's a thing. So that means a lot of things are going to need to happen. So the House of Commons Twitter account put out a post. There was a lot of sort of arguing on Twitter about whether it was appropriate to use the word demise when referring to the Queen's death. Apparently, that's a legal term that they have to use. But a lot of people found it distasteful. But, you know, okay. So it said, following the sad announcement of Her Late Majesty the Queen's demise, the sitting on Friday the 9th of September will not start at 9:30 a.m. as planned. Instead, under the authority of the Speaker of the House of Commons, the House will sit at 12 p.m. for tributes to Her Late Majesty. The House is likely to sit until approximately 10 p.m. The House will then sit again on Saturday the 10th of September at 2 p.m. when a small number of senior members will take the oath to His Majesty the King. That's Charles, by the way, if you know, if you're from outside the UK and you don't know the line of succession, or you're from inside the UK and you just don't care enough to know, which is okay too, it's Charles. You know, he's married to Camilla, used to be married to Diana, once famously talked to trees, that guy. His Majesty the King. Tributes will then be continued. The House is expected to sit until approximately 10 p.m. The last business to be taken on Saturday evening will be consideration of a formal humble address to His Majesty the King, expressing the deep sympathy of the House on the death of Her Late Majesty the Queen. All members will have an opportunity to take the oath when the House returns, although this is not a formal requirement. The House is not expected to sit on Sunday, 11th of September. So, Saturday Parliament, that was a thing this week because everything's crazy now. That's what's going on. It's a bit surreal, actually. You know, I tend to do my shopping on a Saturday afternoon. I'll go into town and I'll do that, and I tend to watch just like a quick Twitch stream or something while I'm shopping. But I was just sat there watching, you know, Parliament Live on my phone. Well, not sat there, but you know what I mean. Walking around, I've got a trolley, I've got some bags of shopping, and so on and so forth, like a proper adult. And I was watching Parliament Live on my TV, on Picture in Picture, and I'm, you know, going through my shopping list and all that, and it was just kind of wild. It's like, oh my God, they're actually working on a Saturday. Jesus. There were a number of speeches given. A lot of people liked Keir Starmer's tribute to the Queen. There was a lot of praise for that, a lot of praise for Ian Blackford's as well. There was some praise for Liz Truss's. There were some also criticising her and saying that her speech felt a bit flat and so on and so forth. But what I will say, and you will never hear me say this again, and it's just for this week only, it's never going to happen again. I think, to be fair to her, she's just become Prime Minister, and then the Queen has literally died, and she's having to navigate a complex path that I don't think she expected, and I don't think any Prime Minister expected, because the Queen's been alive for a very long time, and she's been the Queen for a very long time. So while there are plans in place and contingencies and so on and so forth, mentally, maybe you don't prepare for it, because you think, well, the Queen's not going to die. Come on, man. But then she does. And Liz Truss is navigating that. And also, Liz Truss is not she's not the strongest of speakers. We know this. And she doesn't have oodles of experience speaking in sort of the party leader role. Okay? So maybe cut her a bit of slack. Also, she's still doing that kind of like weird sort of pound shop Thatcher impression thing that she was trying out when she was running for the leadership. So, you know, maybe give her a bit of time. She'll work that out and she'll realise it's not good and stop doing it. I doubt it, but I hope so. I hope she's got enough common sense to drop that. But she tried her best, all right? And it's been a difficult week for everybody, I would imagine. So I'm willing to be nice. If she does a shit speech next week, then no, gloves are off. But for this week, I'll be nice. So we're now in a situation where parliamentary business will not be taking place until after the funeral, which, not to be insensitive, but that's kind of a bit of a difficult situation that we're in, because, you know, we've got a number of difficult things that the government probably should be addressing right the fuck now, and now they won't be, which is great. Love that for us. I mean, if this were any other time, I'd say, okay, then I guess. But I feel like there are a number of things that ought to be happening. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I just do. But I don't see them wavering on that. So I guess, we're kind of back in recess again, in a sense. You know, we only just got back, but we're back in it. Okay. There are rumours about some political parties moving to cancel their conferences. The Liberal Democrats already have, because their autumn conference would have clashed with the Queen's funeral, so they have cancelled that. There are a number of Liberal Democrat members that are upset about this decision, because many of them spent out money on travel and accommodation, which they now probably won't be able to get back. And so there are quite a few of their members that are upset about this. There are also, I mean, the government guidance on this mourning period is a bit vague. It's all very, oh, well, you can cancel stuff if you want, but you don't have to. Like, just do what you want, basically. But I think a lot of places are cancelling stuff because they worry about what will happen if they don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, not to cast aspersions on journalists and, you know, hashtag not all journalists, but I do know that there are some journalists and some publications that are basically scouring social media for any kind of comment that they can make a big story of, and any kind of event that hasn't been cancelled so that they can make a big story of it and say how it's super insensitive for it to have gone forward and so on and so forth. So I think quite a lot of places are cancelling events. You know, there's a number of sports events that have been cancelled, theatre events and stuff like that. A lot of people who are working at these events are losing work and losing money. A number of people that maybe are travelling to these events or are planning to attend have lost money on things like travel and accommodation and stuff like that. So I do feel a lot of sympathy for Liberal Democrat members who are going to be losing out financially on this. But also I can kind of see it from the Liberal Democrats' perspective, because I don't think there was a good option here. If they'd have gone ahead with the conference, they absolutely would have been dragged in the press for it. If they didn't cancel it, they would have just been dragged. They would have been dragged. And then they cancel it and they get dragged. So again, and I would normally never be fair to the Lib Dems, but here I am doing it. Again, it's just for this week. Next week, normal service resumes and everyone's going to suffer. I actually mean it though. It's fucking go time for everybody next week. So Liz Truss has held her first weekly audience with the new king, with Charles. I suppose it was scheduled that she was supposed to have that with the Queen, but after the Queen's passing, it would now be with Charles. So this took place on the 9th of September. So that was literally the day after the death of the Queen. The monarchy, like, just as I would assume, a lot of pressure to move fast. You know, like, Charles literally just the day before had lost his mother and also become king in sort of 1 second. And then suddenly the next day he has to hold an audience with the prime minister. Like, wow. Okay. And again, this kind of continues Liz Truss's kind of whirlwind baptism of fire into being the prime minister. There are a lot of there are a lot of memes about Liz Truss's curtsy. So curtsies to royals seems to be a bit of a kryptonite moment for female prime ministers, actually. Theresa May also, there was a lot of memes about her curtsy to the Queen. And a lot of people pointing out that she just kind of looked a little bit ridiculous. And so did Liz Truss. I know it's not the time to say it, but like it also is because it's relevant to what I'm saying. I think that the reason that these memes become so popular and the reason that these clips go viral every single time is because, to be frank, it is a bit undignified to be expected to curtsy when walking in the into a room to speak to somebody. Like, it just is. And yet it happens. So, I don't know. I think that kind of contributes to these moments going viral because people are like, well, that's embarrassing, isn't it? And also, just curtsying in and of itself just always looks fucking stupid anyway. Unless you're wearing like some kind of like big like princess dress, like Dior cut kind of thing, that kind of silhouette. And a prime minister is never going to be wearing that. So there's just, there's not enough fabric to make it look good, I guess. So they will actually be spending a bit more time together because I just went to call him Prince Charles. I just went to say that, even though I'm literally looking at something in my notes that refers to him as King Charles. But I it's just a force of habit. I can't get used to it. So the King will be going on a tour of the UK in the next few days. And Liz Truss is going with him. Okay. Right. So they are going to Edinburgh, to Belfast and to Cardiff, and Liz will be right there with him. I don't know why that is. I would have thought that she had other things to do, but okay. I also would have thought that Charles had suffered enough, considering he's just had a bereavement and had to take on a promotion, like, literally within seconds of those things happening. And now he has to go hang out with Liz Truss for several days? God. Wow, okay. That's interesting. It could also get a little awkward because like, I don't know, maybe Charles has like a burner account and he's on Twitter looking at the memes and everything, but that clip of Liz Truss yelling about abolishing the monarchy has gone viral again for obvious reasons. So that could make like the car journeys or whatever a little bit awkward, you know, like imagine you're stuck on like the M25 and you're just sat there and you're looking at her and all you've got in your head is her looking into the camera and yelling abolish them in that aggressive way she does in the video, like can you imagine? Oh my god. So I guess we'll just, this is another one of those wait and see happen situation. Wait and see happen? Girl, wait and see what happens. There we go. Why those situations? Will Liz Truss ever learn to curtsy in a dignified way? How will the tour of the Prime Minister and the King go? Will Paddington also go and hang out with Charles? Is that a thing? Does Paddington just go and hang out with the monarch? Because if so, I want to try and find a way to become, you know, the ruler of the country, because I want to hang out with Paddington. And you know, who's going to be the first MP to get cancelled for some kind of problematic comment on the Queen or something? That was what I was worrying about. I was like, one of them going to say something really problematic. Oh my God. Thankfully nobody has so far. There are some people that are desperate for it to happen though. There are a number of people who were seemingly like they had notifications turned on for Jeremy Corbyn. They were convinced, they were ready to go. They were like, Jeremy's gonna say something problematic. And they were like seething when he didn't. I think they were hoping he would say something like super like anti-monarchy. Like they were really acting like this man was gonna log on and be like, bye bitch or something. But he didn't. He said, my thoughts are with the Queen's family as they come to terms with their personal loss, as well as those here and around the world who will mourn her death. I enjoy discussing our families, gardens and jam making with her. May she rest in peace. Firstly, that was nice. That was nice. That was wholesome. That was classy, whatever. Secondly, the idea of Jeremy Corbyn discussing making jam with the Queen is sending me. That's adorable. That is fucking adorable. But I've kept my eyes out. I haven't seen any problematic tweets. I kind of would have been interested if somebody did, but alas, they've been holding out on me. But if I do see any problematic tweets, you know I'm going to let you know about it. So I'll keep you updated. From the show that brought you crazy conspiracies about Nicola Sturgeon comes a new exciting thing. Crazy conspiracy theories about Liz Truss. To start with, I don't know if this theory is true or if it's just a coincidence. I don't fucking know. It's not really important. Like, there are a number of reasons why I believe that Liz Truss is not suitable to be Prime Minister. This doesn't even make the list, but everybody's talking about it, so I guess I am too. There I was, innocently scrolling on Twitter, or as innocently as you can do something like that, and I saw a meme that was posted where someone said that they were getting ready to tell everyone about the Liz Truss lifestyle kink conspiracy theory. And I thought to myself, Girl, do not Google that. Do not Google that. Let's not, shall we? So I searched for it on Twitter instead. And it seems that there are a number of people that believe this to be true. They've done a lot of research and they have come to the conclusion, in their opinion, that Liz Truss is in some kind of 24/7 dominant submissive relationship. And that proof all centers around necklaces. Okay. So let's have a little look at this theory, shall we? So there's a thread posted by a lady named Liliana, and she's posted all of the evidence that she believes to be true. So, okay. First, I'm reading through a thread that she posted. Firstly, here is her most commonly worn piece, as mentioned in the video, is this necklace. So it's a necklace that Liz Truss wears a lot. And she does. I have seen it before. It's like a chain with a little like ring attached to the chain or something. It's fine, I guess. I wouldn't wear something like that. It's a bit blasé for me. I actually wear a necklace every day. So my current necklace of choice, it's a little pendant with the Aquarius symbol on. Because I'm an Aquarius, but I have worn various different ones throughout my life. And you could probably look up lots of pictures of me and find lots of pictures of me consecutively wearing necklaces. What that would prove, I don't know. Well, there's only really one necklace that would, well, two. I mean, the Aquarius one obviously would prove to you that I'm an Aquarius, but also so would looking me up and finding out that my birthday is February 1st. The only other one that really says anything major about me. I do have, and I tend to wear it when I go out to like LGBT spaces, because I am what the kids call straight passing, in that apparently I do not fit the dress code for lesbians. So I... Which is stupid as fuck, but there we are. So I have a lesbian flag necklace. It's really cute. It's in a little heart and it looks adorable. So I wear that if I'm going out to those places, just so I can say, hi, girls, I'm available. What's up? Please approach me. Because I know that sometimes girls feel a bit apprehensive because they're like, oh, I don't want to. Because what if it's a straight ally and she gets really grossed out because a girl hit on her? Because that happens. Quite a lot, actually. So I'm signaling, hey, I know that you may think that I look like the wrong kind of girl for you, but I am not. Hi. So I guess if people were analysing my necklaces, they would find she is an obnoxious homosexual and an Aquarius. Although the Aquarius thing should signal some homosexuality too, because astrology is lesbian culture. Anyway, enough about lesbians. We're not talking about Nicola Sturgeon conspiracy theories today. No, we're talking about Liz Truss. So, yeah, she's got her necklace. Okay. So this person continues. She wears this in 70% of the pictures she is in. And it is extremely obvious that it is a submissive day collar, apparently. Is it? Okay, hang on. I'm going to Google that. Please, God, don't let me die and let someone go through my browser history and be like, baby girl, what is this? Okay. Okay, so I am seeing some necklaces that are similar to what Liz Truss is wearing. Although what I'll say is the chain on those necklaces, it's more of like a choker type rather than something that hangs down. So I don't know. I don't know, babe. I mean, some of these are fucking ugly. Oh my God. Sorry, I'm a jewelry snob. I don't know some of these go. Anyway, back to the conspiracy theory. So then they've also included some examples. And again, in a lot of these examples, like I said, it is pretty like close to the neck. It's kind of more a choker style. Probably because if you are trying to signify submissiveness, you would kind of want something like that. If it is supposed to be a collar that you can wear outside. I'm just saying. I'm not sure that I believe this theory quite yet, is what I'm saying. But we'll continue going through the evidence and we'll see where I end up. So then they said, personally, I believe it to be this one from the website tobehis.com, as it matches the fittings, chain weight and size, as well as the fact that that Liz Truss is a rich conservative. So it's a necklace and it's £299 and, well, $299.95 actually. So it's a 14K gold minimalist micro BDSM yellow, rose or white day collar. So, right, let me look at the... I don't know, the one that Liz Truss is wearing, like, it looks a bit thicker than the one in the picture. I don't know. Maybe. So then they've got more pictures of her where you can see her wearing it. Okay. They said she also wore this necklace for Valentine's Day, further supporting my suspicion that that this necklace was in use as a more subtle day collar at this time. Or maybe it's just a necklace that she wears a lot and it's just a coincidence. I'm just saying. It is possible this collar was in use much longer than that, as the January picture is the first one on her account where a necklace would be visible. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, God. God. I've started now. I've got to see it through, haven't I? Right. So then they move on to a different necklace that she wears sometimes. Thirdly, this necklace threw me for a bit of a loop at first, as it does not match what would typically be expected from a day collar. And then they got a picture where she's got like a necklace. I don't know what that is. Is that like a wishbone or something? Christ, I don't know. I initially thought it might be some kind of antler. Yeah, it kind of looks a bit like that as well. But upon acquiring some higher quality paparazzi shots from a stock image site, the actual necklace becomes apparent. Who is taking pap shots of Liz Truss? She's got to be calling them like YouTube influencers do. Like, that's got to be the case. It is not an antler and I have seen it before. God, what? No, that's a different necklace, honey. No. Okay, so they've linked to another necklace. Oh, good Christ. So this one's labelled Pearl Necklace. And it says, Pearl Necklace is a seemingly... amorphous cast silver shape on a chain that is actually an accurate representation of semen. It is a visual marker of chaos turned perfection through an act of beauty and lust. Jesus wept. Pearl necklace is a physical reminder of a fleeting moment of pleasure. Now here's where this theory starts to fall apart, because this other necklace that they're talking about, that Liz Truss is wearing, that they're now comparing to this like semen necklace, they don't actually look the same. They don't. The placement of the pendant on the chain is different. The thickness of the pendant is different. The shape is different. The colouring is different. It's a different fucking necklace. It's not the same. It's not. So, okay, in our investigation so far, we have confirmed one thing, and that is that Liz Truss is not wearing a semen necklace. Okay. I'm glad we could clear that up. Okay. This art project inspired a series of copies, most of which are one-off handmade items of... Okay. Available only on Etsy and similar sites. This, I was unable to locate the specific item that she is wearing. However, it is so obviously, blatantly... No, it's not, though! So basically, they're saying it's blatantly supposed to be, like, semen. But it really does not look like that. Like, I'm looking at it right now. It looks, like I said, it looked kind of like a wishbone or something like that. And look, Marge Simpson said that wishbone necklaces were cool. And she was kind of right. That's what it looks like to me. So then they're saying that she wears another necklace with it to disrupt the silhouette. I'm not buying the semen necklace. All right. Jury's still out on the day collar, but I'm not buying the semen necklace. So then they said, while researching the necklace, I found this article, which was published today. The article is essentially a pleasant supposition, and given that it was published by The Telegraph, which has supported the UK Conservative Party since 1945, I believe it to be posted intentionally as an SEO smokescreen to hide the discussions about her obvious collaring. So it's an article from The Telegraph. The headline is Circle of Trust, the story behind Liz's favourite necklace. For a politician famous for changing her mind, there's the one thing our Prime Minister will seemingly never change. And the whole article is about this necklace. So they've included some screenshots of this article. It's no wonder that she's continued to reach for the Circle of Trust. Christ. Her faithful gold circle necklace, a piece of jewellery that's been her constant companion all the way along her rocky road to the top. Simple yet distinctive, the necklace features a gold hoop fastened to a fine gold chain. On close inspection, the circle and its two connectors look as though they're made of beaded or textured gold. One Telegraph columnist who has studied the many, many photographs of Truss wearing the necklace says she too has one almost identical from John Lewis. To my knowledge, no brand has stepped forward to claim it, but her office confirms it was a gift from her husband, which puts pay to the idea that it was either chosen by a stylist, FYI she doesn't have one, or a benevolent act of purchase from an arts and crafts market in her Southwest Norfolk constituency. Can you imagine, right, going through all of the fucking work and training to become, you know, a journalist, to work in the media, to work in the press, and then you end up just... Your job for the day is just looking at pictures of Liz Truss and trying to confirm where the fuck she bought a necklace from. Couldn't be me. So here's the thing, right? If Liz Truss and her staff and her team or whatever were super concerned about a conspiracy theory involving her necklace... and what it represents, and that when she's wearing that necklace, it's part of a dominant submissive dynamic, and that's why she always has it on, wouldn't she just take it off or be photographed wearing something else? Because then she could just say, well, you know, look, I'm wearing something else, so obviously that's not what this is. Wouldn't that be the best way to put a conspiracy theory to bed? Isn't it more likely to be the case that she just likes that necklace and so she wears it a lot? I mean, look, newspapers like The Telegraph printing meaningless nonsense pieces about, oh, look at this item of clothing or jewellery that a famous person wears a lot. That's actually quite a common thing. I don't generally read The Telegraph, but I do see a lot of the headlines in my travels, and you know, it's quite a common thing for them. So, again, it could just be a coincidence that this piece was published today. And it's likely to be because of the fact that right now, due to the, you know, royal situation, there's not a lot in the way of like regular news to fill newspapers and your websites for news with. So now is kind of the time to be throwing out fluff pieces if you've got them, because well, what else are you going to write about? You know, beyond the national mourning period at the moment, there's not an awful lot going on that a newspaper like the Telegraph would want to focus on. So I'm not quite buying it yet. Let's see what else they've got. Now, finally, to the critical subject, her husband. Okay. Her husband is extremely private, with essentially no public info or assertion. Well, I mean, he's not in the public eye, so why would he? I'm just saying. You know, he has no need to be, you know, public and have loads of public information around, because he's just a regular guy that happens to be married to Liz Truss. I mean, that's unfortunate for him, but whatever. Okay, so there's a part here where they talk about him, and I'm not going to read that because it seems really mean-spirited. And like I said, he's just a regular guy, and I don't want to drag him. There's no need for that. So it continues. Before her marriage, the few photos available show her notably not wearing any necklace, something highly unusual for her. Okay. Here's the thing, though. Is it that unusual? Because I said earlier about my necklaces, I have the two that I normally wear quite prominently. However, there have been long periods of my life where I didn't wear necklaces at all. I've gone through various jewelry related phases. I've had rings that I wore for a long time that I stopped wearing. You know, I've had periods where I've worn no rings at all. I've had bracelets that I wore all the time and then stopped wearing. There are times when you just, you know, you don't have a piece of jewellery that's very special to you, so you only wear jewellery on special occasions. It could just be, again, a coincidence. If this necklace is apparently... Oh, my God. If this necklace is apparently a present from her husband... Well, then why would she be wearing it so significantly before he gives it to her? Anyway. So then there's another picture of Liz Truss in 1994. In a clip that has again gone viral this week because of the royal situation. And it's a picture of her, and in the clip she was at the Liberal Democrat conference where she was discussing abolishing the monarchy. So great week for Liz Truss related monarchy videos. So again, that's apparently more proof. They then talk about the affair that Liz Truss had with Mark Field. So she did have an affair. That is public information, unfortunately, because sometimes there are just things I don't want to know. Mark Field, probably most famous for being suspended as a minister after he assaulted a climate protester at a Conservative event. So how does this come up? How is this relevant? Well, this person that's done this thread believes that the violent way that Mark Field assaulted this protester. I mean, they've described in the thread, they've described it as a one-handed kink chokehold around the neck. I would describe it as a violent, thuggish assault of a woman who was unarmed and in no way going to harm him. But, you know, maybe I'm just being prudish. Or like an ultra feminist, whatever. So then they link to another article in which Mark Field grabbed and kissed Jeremy Hunt's wife. What I'm getting from this, and it's not particularly linked to Liz Truss, but it's that Mark Field is a fucking danger. But there we are. So then they continue that after the affair, Mark Field left his wife, but Liz Truss stayed with her husband. They then post an article about Liz Truss giving a grovelling apology to her husband over the affair. Apologising for her mistake after she cheated on him with Mark Field. I'm just saying, I don't really get when people say that, like, cheating on someone's a mistake. Like, what, did you just slip and fall into bed with them? Come on. It's, like, I'm sorry, it's a deliberate, vindictive choice, in my opinion. It's fucked up. But I said that about Boris as well, but there we are. So... Right, where is this going? Okay, so Liz had an affair. All right. Okay, here we go. This is my final piece of evidence, they say. And it slots in nicely to form a powerfully compelling narrative. Liz married shortly after joining the Conservative Party, flipping from Lib Dem. It is likely that her husband shared her earlier politics more than her current ones, and this likely extended at the time to her perception of him as unmanly. What? Well, why would she marry him then? If she didn't... Oh, this, look. I don't know. I don't know what I think at this point. Her perception of him as unmanly in the manner of typical conservative gender essentialist brain rot, especially when compared to the hyper-conservative and sexually aggressive Mark Field. During her affair is likely when she became aware of her appreciation for dominant-submissive dynamics, due to the unavoidable intensity of their relationship relative to that of her marriage, due both to Mark's tendency towards physicality and his position of authority over her. Upon the revelation of the affair, she almost certainly justified it as a result of her unmet sexual needs in regards to power dynamics within her marriage. Her husband, oh my God, now aware of her kink, proceeded to collar her, repairing both their commitment and her perception of him. This explains the statements about their marriage becoming a lot stronger during this event. This concludes my presentation. Thank you for joining me. Okay. So, let's go through this, shall we? Firstly, I don't buy that Liz Truss would have married her husband if she didn't respect him and she didn't see him as worthy of a long-term relationship with her. You know, disagreeing politically, and we don't actually know that that's the case. We don't know. But marriage is quite the fucking step, and it's very, very hard to go through with marrying somebody if you don't actually fucking want to, and if you don't look at that person and have some kind of respect or affection for them. I actually only know one person that apparently ended up essentially marrying out of sort of social embarrassment, and frankly, I don't even really believe that. I think that's just a story they made up to save face because they were really shit at being married. But that's another story for another time. My point is, there are multiple points during the build-up to getting married in which if you look at your partner and you don't feel it's going to work, you can back the fuck out. If someone actually goes through with the ceremony and everything, it's hard for me to believe that at that point they didn't care about them, they didn't respect them. So this idea that Liz Truss would not respect her husband or would view him as unmanly because potentially he was a bit more liberal than her. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. And if their political views were so different that it was causing a rift in their marriage, then I doubt he would have stayed with her. Because one of the things I do know is that relationships, let alone a marriage with anybody really involved in politics, but particularly somebody who is elected as a politician, is incredibly hard. It's a lot of hard work to maintain that kind of relationship. So if you had disagreements that were causing issues in your relationship and those disagreements stemmed from politics, it is very hard for me to believe that it would that you would end up marrying that person if you had these issues that were so like drastic. Like I just can't see it. So they kind of lose me at, you know, she married him but she didn't really respect him. I don't buy that. I could potentially buy that she fucking discovered some new shit while having an affair, I guess. Although one thing that I will say, don't you dare ask me how I know it. What I will say is that it's actually quite common when it comes to people that have particular interests in stuff like dominance or submission, it does tend to be the opposite to how they present in real life, because they are either compensating for something that they can't be when they present to the outside world, or they are trying to make up for something that they feel that they are lacking in the real world. So, for example, if you have someone that is particularly domineering, particularly aggressive, and stuff like that in, you know, in the outside world, there is a likelihood that they could be quite different to that in the bedroom. Now, I'm not saying anything about anyone, because thankfully for me, I don't know how Mark Field likes to have sex, and I hope to never fucking find out. But I'm just saying, I don't think that you can make the assumption that just because somebody is a thuggish twat of a bully on the outside of their life, that that is how they act sexually. It's not a strong enough piece of evidence for me. So it's possible that she discovered something she liked there and then took it back to the marriage, but it's also possible that that didn't happen. The statements about the marriage becoming a lot stronger after the affair, well, that's just what people say when their husband or wife doesn't kick them out after an affair. Like, it's basically like PR, essentially. When somebody has an affair, it's the standard thing to do to say, oh, well, you know, we're so much stronger now, and it really, you know, we're in a much better place now. Because it's a combination of saving face for the person that was cheated on, in a sense, allowing them to have their dignity, you know, because most people are going to look at something like that and be like, well, why did you stay? You know, they massively disrespected you. Why did you stay? But if you add the caveat of, oh, but the relationship got so much stronger, it allows them that dignity. It allows them to save face and say, oh, okay, well, you know, if they've been able to make it work and, you know, that things are getting better, then okay, you know, give them a chance, whatever. But also, it just, sometimes, and again, I don't know anything about their marriage, and I don't care to really, but, you know, sometimes people will say stuff like that because they really want it to be true. Maybe their relationship did get stronger, I don't fucking know, but sometimes people will say that literally just because it's a thing you say. You know, because, you know, you just say that because you don't know what else to say. I would not say that it's any indication that as a requirement for them staying together, a new sexual dynamic was added to the relationship. There's no evidence for that. I guess this is just a thing for women in politics now, isn't it? If you are a woman in politics, guess what? There's going to be a whole bunch of mad shit said about you on the fucking internet. And that's just how it is. So, do I believe this theory to be true? No. I don't think that I do, because here's the thing. There are some moments where I think that Liz Truss is a fucking idiot. However, I do give her enough credit to know that she's probably not going to be stupid enough to be caught repeatedly wearing something that could be linked back to some kind of sexual practice, because she is in the Conservative Party, and she probably has enough sense to know, or at the very least somebody on her team will have the sense to know, that if she, a high-ranking politician, and you know, it's not just now that she's Prime Minister, but you know, throughout her career she's held a number of positions of power and responsibility, and so she's been quite public facing for quite a while, she will have the awareness, or somebody on her team will have the awareness, that it's going to look pretty fucking bad if people can have some kind of definitive proof that she's up to naughty things in the bedroom, right? She's not going to be stupid enough to give people that evidence, or at the very least she's going to have someone smart enough in her office to stop her from doing it. So I think it is a coincidence. I really do. I think that a lot of the evidence was pretty shaky. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. Also, Liz Truss is a very cringe person. And I can't see her as some kind of... I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. So... So do I believe the conspiracy? No, I don't. We are once again down a women in politics rabbit hole, because that's just how it is. I guess people are just on a mad one this week because of everything that's going on. It's kind of driven everybody a bit wild. So dumb. So, I will let you know if I find any more unhinged conspiracy theories about anybody in political power. Because I love this shit. You know I do. Okay, besties, that's all for this week. But I will see you again next week for a brand new episode all about what the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business. Love you, bye. What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
Stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
Try that's a dodgy view.
And if you've been to Peppa Pig World, who's been to Pan's? I mean, anybody's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets. Oh.
Like, seriously, what the fuck?